Welcome home, everybody. That is to the Conscious Home Podcast. My name is Blanche Garcia, and I'm your host. So what does it mean to be a soulpreneur? Some of you may be saying, I hear this word all the time, and I have no idea what that means. And we all know what it means to be an entrepreneur, right? It's really interesting. And I say that a lot, but it is interesting because I feel like you're hearing that word much more often. People are really following work that sets their soul on fire. And light workers, and I say light workers because it's really those of us on the planet, I consider myself one of them, that is working, whether it's in business or just by how they lead their life, in alignment with not only the benefit of their own soul path, but to benefit the planet and the people around them in their own way. And this could be anybody who just wants to make people happy. They just want to leave it better than how they got here. So they may walk around saying, hope you have a nice day. It could be that guy on the corner that passes by you and just smiles, where most people aren't even paying attention or have awareness. He could be a light worker because just by him smiling makes you smile. And guess what? That exchange of energy just makes it brighter. It changes the energy in that space. And it's one of those things that just procreates. It just keeps going and going. That could be a light worker. And then also it could be someone literally like Gandhi that's like, I want to change the planet, or someone for sustainability, or someone who's an actor who loves to make people laugh, or teachers. It could literally be an artist that just through their art, they are just so happy and love what they do that the pieces that they create transform people. It's really like just anybody that's working in vibration in alignment with what they want to do, what brings them joy. And then that is actually helping other people, because believe it or not, your energy inspires or activates other people all the time. I come across it in what I do. I'm an interior designer. I also do conscious home. So yes, that does help the planet and people in a lot of ways. So there's a lot of different things that I do. But to be honest with you, the biggest way that I see myself as a light worker is that I stay really true to who I am, and I follow my soul path regardless of what that means. By living that way out loud, by living with that purpose, I feel like that activates other people to want to also live their purpose, to want to also be inspired to like be their best selves, more so than me being a green designer or conscious home. Those are just kind of things that I love to create, and it helps people, but in different ways. I think that since 2020, a lot of people have really been saying, I don't want to do this type of work. I'm no longer doing what I don't want to do. I'm going to figure out what I want to do and go in that direction. So soulpreneur has been thrown around a lot, and it's really somebody who embodies their business, but instead of like saying like, I am the business male energy warrior and I make decisions, I'm cutthroat and I want to make the most money I can and forget about you, it's me first. Instead of that mentality, it's kind of the opposite of it. It's kind of like the divine feminine in a lot of ways. And I say that in a way that's not to pit male and female against each other. It's just that we are now energetically and astrologically in a space that it really is the rise of the divine feminine. And we're seeing it a lot with women entrepreneurs. And this is not just for women, but we're seeing the rise of the woman entrepreneur. We're seeing the divine energy of the feminine rising in situations and leading in business in a lot of ways. And it's kind of like that intuitive energy. For instance, how does that manifest in how I run my business? And how does that manifest with a lot of soulpreneurs? When you use your intuition and your heart chakra as your guide to make decisions, it's not like you're making these decisions in absence of what you, your brain, or what you know to be true physically, or what makes sense. You're just in alignment with that. I make decisions based on what feels right first. I check in with myself, my intuition. I make sure that the decision that I'm making is in alignment with where I want my life to go, where I feel like is my sole purpose. It's bigger picture, right? It's not just what's going to make me the most money. Now, with that, don't get it twisted, because we all want abundance. We can actually have the lives we want and still make a lot of money. There's enough money and enough abundance out there to get paid what we deserve, because there's so much out there. And remember that you can do what you love and still get paid for it. And the rule of being a soulpreneur, one of the things that is what I do every day, is that when I'm making a decision or I'm making an agreement, I want to make sure that the relationship that I'm having, the agreement that I'm making, is not just good for myself, it's good for the other party. Because when both people are benefiting, everybody involved in that situation is benefiting from the arrangement, from the agreement, from the relationship, everybody wins. The people people that work under me, my staff. I want to make sure that the culture I create, the energy I create, that they're happy as much as I'm happy. Now, I still have to be the one in charge. I still have to lead because it's my business. It's my name on the door. So it's not like I'm some flower child running around being like, everybody, whatever choice you want. And I'm just going to go along and just love and light. It's not that. It's that I'm grounded. I'm centered. I know who I am. And within that, I just ensure that along with me and my happiness, I like to check in and make sure that everybody's getting what they need out of this arrangement, right? And I also make sure is that I'm checking my energy as much as possible at the door. So I have bad days just like anybody else. I am human, right? We're all human. And there are days that like literally life gets to me. But when that happens, instead of acting out and reacting, I really try to go internal and go, okay, why am I feeling this way? Let me try to explain to the team I'm having a crappy day so they don't think that this is about them. If I do have a problem, I do bring it up with them or even my clients. So if something's bothering me, I don't let it fester. And that's one of the things I activate soul-based. I make sure I'm coming from my heart. If there's something that's not in alignment or something's not right, I'm going to have a conversation about it and find out from both sides where we can go from here or explain myself, right? So again, I'm leading with my heart. And this comes along with boundaries too. I have clients that I like to make sure that I love the people that I work with, that I love the projects that I work on. It's not like 100%. We are human. We have businesses. And sometimes you have to take projects and situations that are okay. Like you like the person, but you're not going to make a ton of money. Or you're going to make a little bit more money and they're nice enough, but it's going to be like a short project. And sometimes that happens. But I really do try to work with people and on projects that feel good to me, that immediately my energy's like, yeah, I want to do this. It doesn't always make sense, but yeah, let's do this. I like this, right? When you're in that energy of running a business, for me, where that shows up, and this doesn't always make sense for a lot of other people. And I've actually gotten a lot of feedback through my career, even before I started Conscious Home, when I was just doing interior design. One of the things that everybody has always told me that I run my business very differently than a lot of other people. And what that means is that there are a lot of times that I'll have projects that come to me that are going to make me a lot of money. And because I met with the client and I looked at the potential project, I either had a bad feeling or the client was not someone I really felt like I wanted to work with. It didn't feel right. And I've actually walked away from the project. I've said no to more projects than actually I've said yes to sometimes. And there have been times that people working under me, contractors, architects, you name it, they've been like, what are you talking about? My bookkeeper, bankers, they're like, Blanche. And sometimes it's based solely on faith, meaning that I know that you're looking at this video right now and you're saying, but Blanche, you must have so much money in the bank when you say no to these projects. No, there are times when literally there is like barely anything in the bank, but I refuse to fill my energy and my days with something that's going to make me unhappy because that vibration is going to bring more of the same type of project, the same type of energy. And that's when you're following your own guidance, you're following your intuition. If I take projects that like really, I feel strongly this is a no, it doesn't leave space for the ones that are a yes, because there's already something in that space. That's the rule. The rule is two things cannot occupy the same space. So you have a choice. You either want to fill it with crap or things you love. That's your choice. And in business, I'm really hyper aware of that. So I say no to a lot more things than I say yes to. The second part of this is that I've had projects that I'm literally in the middle of, you know, there's a lot going on, and then all of a sudden it's wrong. It doesn't feel right. Everything's going wrong. The client's completely unhappy. I've had conversations. There's nothing I can do to make them happy. It's just we're not jiving. At that point, I have chosen to walk away. And that is very interesting for a lot of people. But when you're in business and you're an entrepreneur and you know what feels off, when you ignore that, it's like a slow death. It kind of eats away at you. Every day, you're like, oh, the phone rings. You're like, oh, you wake up in the morning. You're like, another day. That's how people start hating their jobs or even hating their lives. They don't want to deal. And they end up saying yes to these things because they're like, it's going to make them money. It's going to get them PR. It's going to get them in magazines. It's going to get them XYZ. And what they're doing is when they are allowing this to stay in their life, in their business, they're saying, I want more of that, please. Send me more of that, please. That's what happens. And what I've also seen in businesses is that you have to be really hyper aware of the type of energy clients, what you say yes to, allow into your business, because it doesn't only affect you, it affects the people who work under you. So remember that, like, you're all symbiotic. You're all part of one team. Like, how horrible would it be if I took on clients that I knew were horrible people, or projects that I knew were going to be like completely horrible, but I was like, oh, but I don't have to deal with them. I'll just let my team deal with them. So now they hate their life. How long do you think before they're not going to be around anymore, or they're going to not put in the work, or they're not going to put in their passion? Having a business, being an entrepreneur, and going in the direction of not only following your heart and your intuition and your passion is just treating others and your team like you would want to be treated, accepting things that bring you joy, and learning to cut things off and put boundaries up when something is out of alignment, having the tough conversations, being completely transparent. For instance, my contracts are very transparent. My clients know exactly what they're getting, how they're getting it. I spell it all out. We talk about everything up front. There is no shadows. There's no questioning later on. I do this because I don't want the stress in my life of having to hide or figure it out later. That's when it becomes an issue. Communication up front is working with integrity. So if you're going to work with integrity, you want to be open and communicative and make sure everything's out on the table. Have the tough conversations early on. It's like when you get married, you don't wait till you're married and already in it before you discuss having children or where you're going to live. You do that before you get married and all those things, even though some people don't. You know, that's a whole different conversation. So make sure everything's really, really clear. I would rather you know where I stand so that I know what I will and will not do. You know what to expect from me. It's really important. I set up my business so that there is these communications ahead of time. Another thing that I do, I realized, and I went really deep as an entrepreneur, and I say this to anybody running their business, what are the biggest stressors in my business and how do I get rid of those stressors? So one of the big stressors in my business as an interior designer, I remember this, is obviously chasing money, right? So how do I not chase money and also every day have to be in the books? Because I hate dealing with numbers. I'm much more happier and I'm in my happy space when I'm creating, and that's most creative people. So how do I do more of that and less of the other, right? And so for instance, in my industry, I'll give you an example, commissions, like to buy furniture through a designer, usually it's very commission based. And if you buy a piece of furniture through them, you have to pay part of the commission. But with that, there's a deep discount the designer gets and they pass along some of that discount, blah, 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 blah. So either way, you're paying the designer for the use of their discount, but you're also paying the designer the managing of that product because they are going to be the ones dealing with the ordering, making sure everything gets to where it needs to be, and then having it delivered, and everything should be great in a perfect world. There's nothing broken, blah, blah, blah. So the designer carries that headache. A lot of designers out there in my career when I started out, they had a range of commissions. They're like, oh, well, if it's this, it's going to be that. If it's this, it's going to be that. There was like a lot of paperwork and a lot of ups and downs of commissions. And you were constantly trying to follow, well, do I do this? And then the client would get upset if they found out this and blah, 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 blah. It was like a lot of that stuff. And I said early on, I'm not doing that. It's one number, one commission. And if they don't want to buy it through me, I'm okay with that because it's extremely tedious. So I'm going to be completely open and upfront with them about what I make. I'm going to be upfront with them about this is one set commission, take it or leave it. They don't have to buy it through me. I'm okay with that. And I'm going to structure my pricing accordingly so that I can get paid for what I love to do, which is the creative. And if they don't buy a product through me, I don't really care because I've made the money on what I love to do. So I'm not chasing and putting my mind and my energy into something that I already hate doing. Now that's very controversial, but I did that for my peace of mind because my peace of mind made more sense than making as much money as I could squeeze out of every piece of furniture and every client. I cared less about that. But oddly enough, what happens is that when I'm working with a client and I give them that option and I'm very upfront with them about it, the majority of the time, they usually buy 90% of the items through me. And I don't care. I mean, it's great. It's like that cherry on top, but I allow my peace of mind. That's the guiding light. I want to be creative. I want my peace of mind. I want my team to be happy. I want to come to work and be happy. I don't have to make the most money out there. Those are the things that matter to me. But if I do all of those things right, then everything else follows. And I'm a really big believer in that. So when we talk about being a solopreneur, when we talk about running our business with integrity and just following our purpose and having the heart in it, those are some of the things that, in my opinion, sets those types of companies, my company, apart from the average. And I feel like that's more prevalent today. Maybe some of these things resonate with you and there are small steps that you can take in running your business that you're like, hey, I want to be a little bit happier. I want to resonate more with the type of work I'm doing. I would like my staff have to be happy as well. I know, it's crazy, right? And then it kind of like all kind of goes together. One hand washes the other. I will say, since I've been doing this, it's the only way I know how to run my business. And sometimes the decisions that I make are not the mainstream, what everybody would do. So these are just some of the things that I have implemented that they've always resonated with me. I always felt like this is the right way to do things. What's funny is that in 2020, a big thing that came out of the pandemic were people working from home. And I actually always had a hybrid type work calendar or schedule. I always had like a hybrid work schedule with my team. And as we have grown and we have scaled, I still have a hybrid work schedule. And that is because it always made me happy. And there's like a flow to the week. Like some days you need collaboration and we love getting together. And then there are some days that I want to work alone. I don't want to be around anybody. And I feel like, well, they probably feel that way. So because of that, with my own personal company and my staff, we have a hybrid work week where some people work from home, some people come in. It's pretty flexible. There are days that are like, these are the days we're in office. It's more of a team collaboration and we love that. And we kind of have our own little thing going on. And I always make sure the culture too, you know, as a small business owner, I'm not some big conglomerate and I can't offer all the perks that a huge company can offer. But what I do offer is that I make sure that I check in with everybody. They love the work that they're doing. I like to make sure that if they need something to the best of my ability, I always try to do that. And I always try to make sure that we have a little fun. Like the other day we had a vision board session and we were drinking wine, some of us like health smoothies, listening to music, and we were really goal setting and vision boarding because I feel like together that creates a collective energy that really sets us up. So I thought that vision boarding, that's actually not a word. We had a discussion about that. It's creating vision boards. So you just let me know, because I feel like vision boarding is like waterboarding, which is not what we're talking about. We're talking about vision boards. Anyway, that is a great team building exercise that I can get behind, because it was literally girl fest. And I'm not gonna lie to you, like my team is like my family. So when you think like that, you try to do what you would want done for yourself. And I think that a lot of people that lead their business with their heart, with a soul purpose, are really changing the way the office atmosphere, the business atmosphere is led. And there's a lot more of us out there than there used to be. Then you find each other and you wanna work together because you're like, hey, you're working with authenticity and integrity. I wanna work with you and you make me feel good. And it's just creating that even exchange of energy. So that's the world I want to live in. I don't know about you.